expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will sing together Psalter 150, all four stanzas. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me. As restless and weary I sigh, Psalter 150, all four stanzas. Scripture reading for this morning you can find in the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, starting at verse 16 through the end. But before, we will read from the Confession of Faith, article 13. Divine Providence. We believe that the same God, after he had created all things and did not forsake them, nor give them up to fortune or chance, but that he rules and governs them according to his holy will, so that nothing happens in this world without his appointment. Nevertheless, God neither is the author of, nor can be charged with, the sins which are committed. For his power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that he orders and executes his work in the most excellent and just manner, even then when devils and wicked men act unjustly. And as to what he does surpassing human understanding, he will not curiously inquire into it further than our capacity will admit of, but with the greatest humility and reverence adore the righteous judgments of God, which are hid from us, contending ourselves that we are disciples of Christ to learn only those things which he has revealed to us in his word, without transgressing these limits. This doctrine affords us unspeakable consolation, since we are taught thereby that nothing can befall us by chance, but by the direction of our most gracious and heavenly Father, who watches over us with a paternal care, keeping all creatures so under his power that not a hair of our head, for they are all numbered, nor a sparrow can fall to the ground without the will of our Father, in whom we do entirely trust, being persuaded that he so restrains the devil and all our enemies that, without his will and permission, they cannot hurt us. And therefore we reject that damnable error of the Epicureans, who say that God regards nothing, but leaves all things to chance. We mentioned to you Ezekiel, chapter 36, starting at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places and planned that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in their solemn feasts. In her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer on this prayer day morning. Let's pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things and upholds all things, and we have heard of thy wonderful divine providence, that without thee not even a hair can fall from our head. All is according to thy will. All is under thy divine providence. All sickness, all health, all things that come unto us in this life is from thee. Lord, give us eyes to see that thou art not only our creator, but that also everything that we experience in this life, it's under thy divine providence. May it bring us to that right place, to be before thy throne, bowing in the dust, confessing our sin, and yet looking up unto thee in adoration. Lord, thou hast given in this day that we may gather together as a congregation for a prayer day. And Lord, then we must confess, by nature, there is no seeking thee. There's no need for thee. There's no true prayer. We are prayerless creatures, born in sin, dead in trespasses. And we have no hunger for thee, no thirst for thee. And without thy renewing grace, we will also die, prayerless, thankless creatures. Lord, we need thy grace. That grace that we have read of in this chapter of thy precious word. And Lord, we have heard it many times that thou hast said, and I will. Oh, may that then give us hope in this morning on this prayer day. Lord, we may lay all our needs before thee, for land, as a nation, for all our physical needs, for all the needs of our souls. And Lord, as soon we hope and expect that also again that the season will change and that then seed will be entrusted into the ground and it depends upon thy wonderful providence that it would germinate and grow, and that there would be a crop, that there would be food for us. But Lord, we also need thy help, thy blessing, not only upon all the things of this life, but also especially that when the seed of thy word may be sown, that it also may land in well-prepared soil, that it may bring forth fruit of true repentance and true faith. Lord, wilt thou then teach us to pray and give, that we may lay all our needs for all our bodies and for our souls before thee, the almighty, all-powerful Lord God of heaven and earth, thou who hast the power over all things, but also hast the power to renew dead sinners, to take away hearts of stone and to give hearts of flesh, to cleanse, to wash, to put thy spirit in spiritless creatures, and to cause them with their heart, with their will, to follow thee, to obey thee, to walk in all thy ways. O Lord, we beg thee on this prayer day morning, then look upon us in mercy. We send everything away, and may it not be evil in thy sight, that we open our sinful lips unto thee, that we come before thee with all our petitions, with all our needs for our bodies, for our souls. But wilt thou also give, not only that we may come before thee in the dust, but also give faith to look up unto thee. May it be with expectation, not from anything of us, because we are filthy and polluted, but because of who thou art, who thou art as the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee then, look upon us in mercy. Lord, it is a token of thy long-suffering patience that we may have a prayer day today, that we may be together in thy house, that we had another day, that thou hast not dealt with us according to all our sins and iniquities, but thou hast extended our life. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Thy mercies are new every morning. But Lord, we may say this, and we may even proclaim it. But Lord, wilt thou give, that we may truly feel it in our heart, that we're sinful, unworthy, and that it's all thy mercy, and that we need thy grace. We need everything from thee for everything, Lord. We pray and beg thee that thou would then look upon us through thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased. May we present all our petitions, all our supplications through him, that interceding, that thanking high priest at thy right hand, that good shepherd, the king of his church, who prays and who intercedes and who will seek and who will save thy lost sinners, thy dear sheep. And may we then in our children be included in that blessed people, as we have also heard from thy word thou hast said, and I will be thy God, and thou wilt be my people. Oh, what a blessed people. May we feel it this morning, that if we do not belong unto thee, we have nothing. Oh, may that then bring us upon our knees as beggars, crying out unto thee, Lord, renew me, draw me, and I will run after thee. Lord, we beg thee that those whom thou hast made alive by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, oh, wilt thou then also teach them to pray, and that they may then intercede as Moses, not only for themselves, for their families, but also for the whole congregation, begging thee to work mightily to save sinners, to care for thy people, to feed thy people, to lead thy people, to instruct thy people. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee. May we ask thee also to richly bless thy word in this nation wherever it may be proclaimed, but also in our homes. Give that we may be faithful fathers as priests, prophets, and kings in our home to rule and to guide our families faithfully in the fear of the Lord according to thy word. But wilt thou also bless thy word in the school? Lord, help the teachers, but bless the students with thy precious word. Open their ears, open their eyes, enlighten their minds, and renew their hearts, that they may be captured by thee, by thy grace, and that they cannot serve the world, self, sin, and Satan anymore, that they may have that same spirit as Joseph. How can I do this great sin and sin against God? Lord, we all need it. We need thy grace. We need thy spirit. We beg thee then in this morning that thou would give opening to proclaim thy word, and that we may hear the instruction from the Lord, that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord God, and that we may hear that it's a message not of man, not of a prophet, but it's a message from the Almighty God. What a wonder, Lord, that thou yet even gives us instruction to pray unto thee, because we are unworthy, sinful, polluted. We are like those polluted Israelites that thou hast then instructed to pray unto thee, to give exactly what they needed for their soul's needs. And in this morning then thou art also speaking, instructing us to pray unto thee, not only for everything we need, for the land, for temporal needs, but also especially for our souls. Lord, may we become true sires, beggars at thy throne of grace, and that thou would pour forth, because of thy dear Son, because of his merits, because of his righteousness, and because of his blood, those blessings that thou alone can give, and that each boy, each girl, each man, each woman needs. For without thy grace, we will utterly perish. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, do wonders. Thou hast saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, and thou art that same God today. Lord, we beg thee, work mightily, irresistibly, and may we see it. May we see the work of the Lord. May we hear it, and that we may give thee true thanksgiving, that we may glorify thee for the works of thy hands. And so we beg thee in this morning, as thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst. Be in our midst, Lord. Rend the heavens, come down, and bless thy word powerfully, irresistibly, that dead ones may be made alive, but also that thy people may be instructed. May they receive comfort. May they hear also that they are recipients, that they may hear their name mentioned, and that they may go home broken, humble to the dust, because of thy mercies for such an unworthy wretch. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. Help us then. Teach us. Grant unto us those blessings that thou alone can give us. Help thy servant, Lord. Give him the unction of the Holy Spirit. Give Aaron's and hers to pray and to sigh, and that thou would give us a good hour in thy house. Take away all the hindrances, all the obstacles in listening and in preaching, we ask, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing now from Psalter 390, all three stanzas. Lord, hear me in distress, regard my suppliant cry, and in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. Psalter 390, all three stanzas. In the meanwhile, your gifts will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. your congregation in the Lord's providence and goodness and mercy, we may be gathered together, especially today, in God's house for a day of prayer. We may ask the Lord for his blessing upon all our needs. We may pour out our hearts unto him for everything we need for our bodies and for our souls. And soon we expect and hope that again farmers will plant the seed into the ground. And we need the Lord to cause that seed to germinate, to grow, that there would be a crop, that there would be a harvest, that there be food. We need the Lord's blessing in everything. Everything for soul and for body. And we may lay all our needs before the Lord, especially today on prayer day. But this morning, congregation, I want to focus on one essential need. One essential need that every boy, every girl, every teenager, every man, every woman here this morning or listening along needs. It's an essential need. Are we blessed at the end this fall? We have excellent crops and all those bins are full and overflowing. Are we really blessed? Is that really a blessing? What is essential for you and for me? We must die one day. And we need to meet a holy and a just God. And there's an essential that you and I need. We need God's grace to prepare us to stand before him. We especially, congregation, need a blessing on the seed of the Word of God. We need a blessing upon the preaching of the gospel. We need a blessing that the flock of God would increase. No, I'm not speaking about a larger church. I'm not speaking about adding more benches and chairs. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about what we read in Ezekiel 36, verse 37, that the flock, that God's flock would increase among us, that sinners would be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. This is your essential need, and may it become your need. If it hasn't already, today on prayer day, may you look around at other people, not only your family, but other people in this church, and maybe have love for one another, but also especially love for our souls. The Almighty God gives us instruction on this morning, on prayer day, exactly what we need, our essential need. And so I would like to draw your attention to what the Lord God says to you and me on this prayer day morning from Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them, and I will increase them with men like a flock. So the theme for this prayer day's morning is instruction on prayer day. We hear instruction in this verse on our prayer day. 3 points, 3 questions. From whom is this instruction? Well, we read in this verse, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. So, from whom is this instruction? But our second thought is, for whom is this instruction? So, from whom? And the second thought is, for whom is this instruction? Who is the Lord instructing to pray? Who are they? Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Then the third thought is, for what are they instructed to pray? What is the Lord instructing you and me in this morning to pray for, to supplicate, to beg him of? I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. What is that? Well, we'll consider what the Lord says in his word. So the theme is instruction on prayer day. And with the Lord's help and blessing, our first thought is, from whom is this instruction? Ezekiel 36, verse 37 is instruction. The Lord says, thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. Children, when you receive instruction from your parents, you must respect them and obey them. Children, teenagers, when your teachers at school give you instructions, you also must respect and obey them. And congregation, when the government, when those who have authority over or those in the office of a church give instruction, as long as it's according to the word of God, we must obey them. But who is giving us instruction this morning? Who is speaking this morning? Is it Ezekiel? No, it's not him. Is it my word? Absolutely not. In this text, we read a very glorious, beautiful name, a great name. Let's read that verse again and listen. Thus saith the Lord God. The prophet Ezekiel, in his prophecy, has this name, Lord, with God in all capital letters, 210 times, more than any other prophet. This book is saturated with this glorious and precious name. And together with that name is, saith the Lord God. So the instruction this morning is not from Ezekiel. It's not from me. It's from the Lord God. We see these two names together, Lord and God. These two names together give a fuller expression of who the Lord is. That Almighty God who made you, in whom you live and move and have your being. It's the Almighty Creator. It's the owner of everything. The one who is the I am that I am, that all-sufficient one. It's the covenant-keeping Jehovah. Instruction this morning is from the covenant-keeping Jehovah. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired. What is that instruction? What does it mean that inquired? It literally means to be sought after, to have one's existence established. It's to inquire of the Lord God to have your existence established. He instructs us exactly of the very essential need on prayer day, what you and I need. And in the verbs, it's that you would ask, not just once, not just a couple times, not just seldom, but to ask continually, the Lord God, to inquire unto him, to pray to God, to beg, to supplicate, to ask him, to open your mouth unto him. It's amazing. Why? Because previously in Ezekiel, the Lord said, I will not be inquired of the house of Israel. Various times, for example, in Ezekiel 20, verse 3, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are you come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And now what a wonder. In this chapter, the Lord says, And yet for this will I be inquired of the house of Israel. The Lord instructs Israel. He instructs those people who are so absolutely wicked, for those who are allowing their sons to pass through the fire, those who are idolaters to the core. He is instructing them to inquire, to seek their very existence in Him, the Lord God. The very blessings that He instructed them of what they need, He instructs them to ask Him. He says, I will, and I will do it. And He says, and yet for this, I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. What a wonder. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us at all. He doesn't need those Israelites. And yet He instructs to inquire Him exactly of their needs. Would it not be just? Yes, it would be. If the Lord says also to us, you have a prayer day? I don't want to hear your prayers. You're all polluted. You're all wicked. You're all filthy. Israel profaned His name. They profaned the holy name of the Lord God, and yet He instructs such people to pray unto Him. What a wonder. Also this morning, the Lord instructs us on prayer day to inquire of Him, to seek your very existence, of your very soul, of your very being in Him, the Lord God. What a wonder that we may yet have another prayer day. And may the Lord teach us to pray. May the Lord make us prayers, that we may be beggars, supplicants at His throne of grace, not only for your own soul, for the soul of your family, but for the souls of all those here in the church and outside. A while ago I thought, what am I going to preach on today? And I prayed, Lord, what's the message? And I hope also you, and I trust you also, knew prayer day was coming, and that we were asking, Lord, speak. Use that sinner in the pulpit to bring a word to us. And this text was laid on my heart. Congregation, we desperately need, no, not bigger grain bins and bigger churches. We need God's grace. We need His free and sovereign, irresistible grace to work in hearts, that sinners would become alive and become part of His flock. And so the Lord God, that Almighty One, that Holy One, who's too pure to look upon sin, He instructs sinners to pray unto Him. That's the instruction on prayer day. But who? Who? It's from Him, the Lord God. But for who is the instruction? And so we go to our second thought. Who is the Lord God instructing to pray? Well, let's read that verse again. Ezekiel 36, verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Who's instructed to pray? Who do we read? House of Israel. Who are they? Who are these people that God instructs and invites to be inquired of them? They're His covenant people that He separated from all the other nations, that He brought out of Egypt, out of that house of bondage, brought them through the wilderness for 40 years, poured those blessings upon them, fed them manna, fed them with water from that rock, cared for them, gave them the law, gave them the tabernacle so He could dwell among them, gave them all those blessings of all those ceremonial laws, all speaking of the visual gospel, all those lambs pointing to the coming Messiah, all that blood pointing of their filth, but also of that way to cleanse. But that very people, His very people, the covenant people, Israel, they hardened their hearts and they became idolaters and they became so wicked, so desperately wicked, that they even sacrificed their own children in the fire of the god of Molech. And that god was a great big god with a hollow and had a fire in it. And they would put their little babies in that god. And there would be music so you couldn't hear their piercing screams. What wickedness. And we're no better. We have the blood of abortion in our nation. But what wickedness! And yet God sent his servants, prophet after prophet, repent ye, repent ye. And they hardened their hearts, and they even killed the prophets. They profaned the name of God. They caused his name to be profaned. That's a very strong word. Would you like it if someone said something about your mother's name? I think you would be upset. Good. But now think of the name, Lord God, the highest, most precious, glorious name of that holy, infinite being. They profaned his name. And so he poured his wrath out upon them, brought them into captivity. And they hardened their hearts against all the warnings, all the invitations, all the messages. And God, still in long suffering mercy and goodness, instructs such sinners to inquire of him for their spiritual existence. Amazing. But now what about you and me? What about you and me? We're like Israel, dear congregation. God has separated you and me. He made a difference. He said, I want this boy, this girl, this man, this woman to be born under the truth, under the administration of the covenant of grace. I want to pour so many blessings upon you. You've heard the gospel many times. You've heard the command to repent, to believe. You've heard the word of God many, many times. But who are we? Are we better than the Israelites? No. We're adulterers to the core also. We're wicked. Do we not just deserve wrath like the Israelites? May I ask you, do you profane his name? You say, no. I never take his name in vain. Good. But do you still profane his name? Congregation, everywhere you go, everything you do, you have his name on your forehead because you're baptized. God attached his name to you. The Lord God, that Holy One, he not only said, I want to separate, pour your blessings, he even put his name on you. Where do you go with his name? What do you do with his name? What do you watch with his name? What do you read with his name? How do you act with your neighbor with his name? How are you in class? How are you at school? How are you at work? How are you an employer, employee, a teacher, a student? How are you as an office bearer? How am I as a minister? Do we cause God's name to be profaned? And we must say, yes, in many ways, we're guilty on prayer day. And yet, God, in his mercy today, has instruction that we would all pray, not only the house of Israel, all Israelites, every Jewish boy, every Jewish girl, man, woman, older, younger, but also all of us today. It's instruction individually and personally for every single one. What a wonder. And yet for this will I be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. May I say this very reverently? God saw us planning a little X on the calendar, prayer day. And as I said, I trust that you prayed, that he would give a message. And I may say openly, I also begged him. And we may believe God directed to this exact message. I want the people in Cortland to hear this morning. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. Who's instructed to pray? Everyone. But who especially? Who especially? Especially those recipients of grace. Those who have become a praying people. And no, they don't give any credit to their prayers. But God has renewed them. And they've learned a little of something, what it is to cry, to sigh, to beg, to bend their knees, and to supplicate that Almighty God for his grace, for his work. Children of God, lambs, sheep, I want to hold before you and me examples of how we are to pray. We are to be like Abraham in humility. Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Be like Abraham, but also be like Jacob, wrestling with him. I cannot let thee go except thou bless me. I cannot let thee go except thou bless my wife, my husband, my children. I cannot let thee go except thou bless the whole congregation. Beg for the glory of his name and for the salvation of sinners, that his flock may increase, that more may be gathered in, that more may come to know him, worship him, glorify, serve, and obey him, ask for his honor, for his glory. Be like Moses. Moses was an example of Christ. He was interceding for his own people. Be as patient as Job. Be as wise as Solomon. Be as David. David received promises, and what did he do? He turned it back to God, and the Lord promised. And then David, in his prayer, he said, Lord, do as thou hast said. And we may, so to speak, also with this chapter, Lord, we have heard it. I will, I will, I will. And we may beg him, say, Lord, do as thou hast said. Do it for thy honor. Do it for thy glory. Do it for my soul. Do it for this congregation, that the flock may increase. Why does God, as far as we know, hold his hand so still? Why do we not hear when we go on house visitations of broken sinners in the dust, sorrowful because of their sin, begging, is there mercy for such a one? Is there a way for me to be just with God? Is there a way? I need to know the way. Tell me the way. Why? Where should we start? Outside these walls? No, right here. Where should we start? In our own hearts, especially in the hearts of God's children. We need to begin with ourselves. Yes, we need to begin with ourselves. How often are you and I on my knees begging, especially for the Lord to do what he says in this chapter? Is our love waxing cold? Are we also so prayerless? Are we not moved ever for the glory of God and for the love and compassion for our fellow travelers to a never-ending eternity? Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. We may beg. You say, I don't know how. Then you can be a beggar to beg. And you may supplicate and pray, Lord, work mightily. Translate sinners from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. May more become sheep, changed from goats, from dead to life. Lord, work mightily. May we have what is in Psalm 67. Sheep of the Good Shepherd. Psalm 67, verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. I need it. Daily. You need it. We all need it. And may I give you encouragement to pray, to beg from the Lord, not from myself? He says not only to inquire, but he tells us also how to pray. Yes, like all those examples, but also what we read in Psalm 81, verse 10, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth. Just a little. No. Open thy mouth wide. What does that mean? Wide with expectation because of who he is. And he promises, and I will fill it. But must we not confess that our mouths are so often closed? Or they just open a little bit? Because there's so little urgency, so little faith, so little expectation. And the Lord says, he gives us a very good pleading ground. No, not a good, the only pleading ground. In the same chapter, Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen with you imps, we may plead upon that good foundation for his name's sake. Like Daniel. Daniel heard of the promises. He knew. And he turned those promises into petitions and listened to how he pled before the Lord, how he inquired of the Lord God. Daniel 9, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Congregation, may this prayer day be a day of begging, a supplication before his throne. May the Lord, by his power of the Holy Spirit, bring this home, and that we may, by his grace and by his Spirit, become beggars. And may we ask for his name. May we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, as he has taught his people to pray, to ask in him, that interceding, thanking, and ever-living high priest. May we beg in the name of the advocate for him. And may we beg, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, do as thou hast promised. Lord, do what we cannot do for ourselves and we cannot do for another. Lord, we need thee. And so, from whom is this instruction? The Lord God. For whom? For all. Now, what does the Lord instruct us all to pray for on this prayer day? What is the Lord instructing you and me to pray for? Let's read the verse again. I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. So we hear two phrases in this verse. Yet for this, and do it. What is that? But first I would like to say this. Before the Lord said, I don't want to hear your prayers. I don't want to hear it. But now he gives instruction for exactly what they need for their very existence, for their life, for their soul. He instructs them to pray for what? To do what you all need. To do what every mother, father, husband, wife, single, boy, girl, what your children need, what your neighbor needs, what everybody in this world needs. To pray for what? To do what no man can do for himself, and yet he desperately needs. To do what the Lord God only can do, but also that he's willing to do, and he has the power to do it. Ezekiel 36, verse 36. I, the Lord, have spoken it. All what we read before that. I will do it. I will do it, he says. And then the wonder in the very next verse, he says, and yet for this I will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them. What do those two phrases really mean? What is the Lord speaking about in those previous verses? The unconditional promises of the covenant of grace, that he will save a people, that he will renew sinners and give life, that he will give them that real, true spiritual existence in their very being. Matthew Henry says, what is the matter of God's promises must be the matter of our prayers. We may turn what the Lord says and he promises to do, we may turn that into a pleading before him. So what does yet this and do it refer to? There are several things mentioned in this verse. Each relates to those unconditional promises of the almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah. I will. It's what every Israelite desperately needed. They needed to be cleansed. They needed a new heart. They needed the Spirit. They needed to be caused to walk and to keep the judgments of God. But it's also exactly what you and I need. The Lord was going to bring them into that Canaan again. And may I draw a parallel for any sinner to enter into the heavenly kingdom. They need to be cleansed. They need to be renewed. They need a new spirit. They need to be completely renewed. They need to be made willing, so they enter and they're willing to serve him joyfully forever. Because nothing undefiled, impure, unholy, unwilling, dead, wretched can enter into the presence of God. And there's four things that God instructs us this morning to pray that he has the power to do. But before we consider them, let us first sing. Psalter 221, stanzas 1 and 3. 221, 1 and 3. Great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 221, stanzas 1 and 3.
Instruction on prayer day
from the Lord God for all of us. What does the Lord God instruct us to inquire, to ask, to beg of Him to do? Exactly what you need for your eternal existence. What do you need? May I ask you, what do you need? Do you know what you need? What do you need? Do you know you need to be cleansed? Are you filthy? Are you fine? Clean in your own eyes? Or are you filthy? The Lord says in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." What does this mean? Children, you get dirty, and you have a shower, and you're washed, and you're clean. But no water, no soap, not even the strongest soap can wash us and cleanse us. What we need of that cleansing of all our sin. Jeremiah knew this. Jeremiah 2, verse 22. "For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God." Have you tried to cleanse yourself? Are you trying to cleanse yourself? Do you need to be cleansed from all your sin? What does it mean in this text? What does it mean? "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean." Water in the Old Testament symbolized cleansing. In the ceremonial law, God provided a ceremony of sprinkling water mixed with ashes of a sacrifice to cleanse the people. Because he cannot have communion with filthy sinners. They need to even be ceremonial clean. And he provided a way that he wouldn't consume them dwelling among them. Do you need cleansing? Do you need cleansing from all your guilt, from all your sin? Do you need a cleansing of your whole being, of your whole heart, external, internal, everything? Open your Bibles to Hebrews 9. We need more than water, congregation. This water pointed to something else. And we read something in Hebrews 9, verse 13 and 14. Exactly the provision of God for cleansing and that only way of cleansing. Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" My friend, do you need cleansing? Here is the only cleansing, not the blood of an animal, not the sprinkling of water with the mixing of ashes. No, you need the blood. You need the blood of Christ sprinkled upon you. And this is where God leads all his people. They need forgiveness of all their sins, original sins, actual sins, but they also need a cleansing within, a pure heart. They desire both. They desire both by God's grace. Like David. Psalm 51 verse 2. "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." But then he also prayed in verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Is this your desire on prayer day? Do you need cleansing? We may ask him. No, he instructs us. What a wonder. Because those sinners wonder where can my cleansing ever come from? And it comes from him. What a wonder. Salvation is of the Lord God. It's not of man. It's all from him. That's the hope. That's the beauty. He provides. He provides everything. But what a lesson we need to learn. That we're broken, lost, and that we need him for everything. But they often tremble, those sinners. Am I cleansed? Am I washed? I feel so polluted. I feel so filthy. It just keeps bubbling up. Am I ever cleansed? What lessons? But where are you looking for cleansing? The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." You may inquire of the Lord to be cleansed, pleading upon that only sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Dear sinner, dear child of God, you who feel so filthy, who will cleanse you? Does God say you need to cleanse yourself? Yes, we need to clean our hearts and our lives. It's true. But can you? He says, "I will do it," because he knows that you cannot cleanse yourself. Is that you this morning on prayer day? Sinner, you who alone trust, as a wretched, guilty sinner in that only Lamb, who will cleanse you? Listen. Listen, please. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." Who? That almighty covenant-keeping Jehovah, the very God that we have offended to his very heart in his goodness, proclaims and provides that only way of cleansing. And we read further in this chapter in verse 29, "And I will also save you from all your uncleanness." Who will cleanse you? That almighty God, because of the merits of his dear son. What beautiful instruction on prayer day. Cleansing from whom? From him. And now listen. Isaiah 43 verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember them. We will not remember thy sins. That's the covenant-keeping Jehovah. He does it for his poor, polluted people. And he even says, "And you may ask me to do this." What does the Lord God instruct us to pray on this prayer day? What do you need? You need cleansing. But what else do you need? You need a new heart. Do you feel it? Or are you still so dead and hard? You need a new heart, my friend. You need regeneration, children, boys and girls. You need to be completely made new. And now listen. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." God gives to unworthy sinners who only have their backs to him. He gives. Why? Because by nature we don't want it, by nature we don't see it, and we have no power to change that hard heart. He instructs us that we may ask him to give exactly what we need, cleansing, a new heart. God gives upon the merits of his son, that head of the covenant of grace. He who gave his life, he pours out those blessings to unworthy sinners. It's a work of his grace. He gives new hearts. That doesn't remain to that organ that pumps your blood, children. That means your whole being, your thoughts, your will, your affections, your desires. It means I will make you new. And I will turn you from serving the world and self, and I will turn you back to me. That you will begin again to have thoughts of me, to have desires for me. I will give you a new mind so you begin to think of me. I will give you new affections so that you again begin to desire me, that you have love for me and for my son. I will give you a new will so that you will again begin to desire to do my will and not your will. I will give you new desires so that your whole desires change from desiring things of the world to desiring me, to desiring the Lord God, to desiring my son as he leads them further, to desire to be cleansed. A sinner with a new heart becomes a completely new person. No, he's not just in the coma woken up. He's not just sick and receives a little medicine. No, he's made new. "I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." A heart of stone is dead, hard, no life. And as a farmer, that's the worst thing you want to run into in your field with a machine, because it will wreck everything. Shell will shatter. But stones are hard. But then flesh It's soft. It's warm. It's living. It's a change from death to life. And by nature, we only have a heart of stone. Enemies of God, resistant to his will. No thoughts, no desires, no affections. And God preaches to us through the law. We don't tremble. He preaches the gospel and we're unmoved. Because we have hearts of stone. We need a new heart. A living heart. A new heart of flesh. Like Manasseh. He had a prayer day in jail. He had a prayer day in jail because he received a new heart. And we read, and he besought the Lord his God. We need a new heart like Lydia. The Lord opened her heart and she attended to the things. She attended on prayer day, may I say that, to the instruction the Lord gave her. We need a new heart like David to confess sin. We need like the publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We need to be like that woman with the issue of blood to become bankrupt and led hear of him and drawn to him and flee to him, beggars at his feet needing him. God commanded sinners to repent with a heart of stone, and they did not repent. He commanded them to believe in his son, but they didn't believe because there was no life, no need, no beauty. It's all self. But now they receive a heart of flesh and they hear the law. They confess sin. They begin to sorrow. They repent. They hear the gospel. It becomes sweet. It becomes sweet to their soul. And often those with a new heart, they complained again. My heart is so hard. It feels so hard again. It feels so cold again. Hypocrites, it doesn't bother them. My friend, do you have a new heart? You need to be cleansed. You need a new heart. Do you thirst for God? Do you thirst for the living God? Do you need a Savior? Do you need a Savior? Do you need to be cleansed? Children, teenagers, adults, congregation, you may ask God. No, God instructs you today through his word that you may ask him not only to be cleansed, but to receive a new heart. For his name's sake, you may beg. For his name's sake. Thirdly, what does the Lord instruct us to beg of him on prayer day? His spirit. God not only takes away the heart of stone, he will not only cleanse, he also gives his spirit. He implants his Holy Spirit in them. They become temples of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel 36 verse 27. And I will put my spirit in you. Little lambs, sheep, you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Are you born again? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. How that should cause us to walk in awe. Far from sin. Far from sin. All those who are born again have the Spirit. Congregation, we need the Lamb, but we also need the Spirit. That Spirit that convicts of sin, that Spirit that works repentance, that Spirit that plants faith and gives the exercise of faith, that Spirit that reveals Christ, that draws to Christ, that Spirit that gives repentance again and again. That spirit that applies the word to the heart, to the soul, so they don't only hear it, don't only read it, but feel it, taste it, and it becomes real. And that they see him and his beauty. That spirit that enables us to pray. That spirit that also conforms them to the image of Jesus Christ. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, children of God. Congregation, you may ask for cleansing, for a new heart, and you may ask for the Spirit. God gives that instruction. God does. But what else? One more thing. Will a born a sinner, born again sinner, turn? Will he really turn from doing his own will to doing the will of God? From following his laws to following the law of God? Will he begin to hate what he loved? Will he begin to love what he hated? Will he begin to love the will of God? To love his commandments? Yes. Why? Because of that covenant-keeping Jehovah. He says another, I will. Ezekiel 36, verse 27. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Cause in Hebrew, it means to produce an effect. I will cause you. I will work in you. And I will cause you to turn, to keep my commandments, to keep them, to guard them, to love them. God puts his law in their heart. And that's why they have the cleansing, new spirit, a new heart, and a new will. He makes them completely new. They turn away from sin. And they desire to turn to do what's right. And yes, they fall again and again. But there's a desire in their heart, like Paul in Romans 7. There's that battle because of that new man. That old man doesn't want to die. And so we come to the end. May I ask you, are you a recipient of that one-sided, sovereign, free, loving, beautiful, excellent grace of God? Are you? Are you born again? How may we know? Is that your question now? You heard what you may pray for. Is your question now at the end? How do I know? Is it me? I see so much filth. I see so much pollution. May I ask you a few key marks? Do you sorrow against sin? Because you sin against not only a holy, a just God, but a good-doing God. And is there pain in your heart? And you wish you could just get rid of all sin? And that you could serve him with your whole being because he's so worthy and so good to such a wretch? Do you need a mediator? No, not just a mediator to escape the punishment of hell, but do you need a mediator to have experience, that communion, that favor with God? You can't live without it. You need one to stand in the breach. You need one to take away all your guilt, all your sin, that God can look upon you and smile. That would be the best day. That would be a beautiful Lord's day. That would be a beautiful prayer day, to taste a little something of his loving kindness. Is there hunger and thirst for the living God, for his righteousness? And you hate it when you have other sinful desires, but you long. Is there a need for God, for reconciliation? Is there a hunger for that second person, the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it you, congregation, without the new birth, without cleansing, without a new heart, without his Holy Spirit, without being caused to live in his ways? We will not, you will not, I will not enter into that heavenly, blissful, eternal Canaan that overflows with milk and honey in abundance forever and ever. May you go home. And if your prayer day hasn't begun, may it begin. May it begin. And beg upon him, his power, his might, his unconditional promises of the covenant of grace. Beg him for his honor, and may he work mightily in Cortland, blessing the word richly, that little boys, little girls would be born again, that teenagers would be born again, adults would be born again, older ones, maybe very old, would be born again, and that his flock, his holy flock, would increase for his glory and for our eternal salvation. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard the instruction that thou hast given unto us through thy word. Bless it richly, powerfully, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's thy work. We have no power. We have no willingness by nature. We're dead, enemies, foolish, sinful, with our backs to thee. And what a wonder that thou art yet willing to call unto us, to pray unto thee for what we need, for our very existence, for our very souls. Lord, cause us, work in us, sprinkle us, Cleanse us, renew us, and cause us, by thy Spirit, by thy grace, to run after thee. Keep us in this day, give, that we may have time to pray unto thee, to truly have a prayer day. Give it, Lord, by thy grace. And may we again come tonight to hear thy precious word. We ask this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us sing in closing from Psalter 217, all four stanzas. 217, all four. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 217, all four stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.